The reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that all may go well with you, so that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Thanks be to God.
Well, over these last few weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be disciples of Jesus. We've been talking about what does it mean for us to follow Jesus and how do we go about this. And we've talked through the basic idea of a disciple being one who is called to follow Jesus, to be with him, to sit with him, to journey with him in every part of life. Now we've seen that it's a call to sit at his feet and learn from him. We've talked through how some of the acts of spiritual discipline, things like silence and solitude and stillness, in particular those ones we looked at, can help us with connecting with God. Not because they force God to respond to us, but because they position us to hear and be a part of what God is doing. And then last week we talked about some of the cost of following God, that it is out of us loving God. It is out of our love, in response to his love to us, that we follow him. That there is a cost of love involved in being God's disciple. And today we're going to finish off this series, before we do a little bit of a review next week, about thinking about why we are called to disciple and follow Jesus, not on our own, but together. And there's two main ideas built into this concept for us. The first is this, that for those of us who have been a Christian for a long time, a term we might call older Christians, we are called to be journeying alongside and with those who aren't yet Christian or who are fresh in their journey. That we are called to invest in them and build them up in their faith. And the second part of this idea is for the younger Christians, those who are fresh in their walk or who don't feel like they have necessarily the experience or the years behind them of following Jesus. And that is that you don't have to go on this journey alone. You are, in fact, called to be journeying together. We, as God's people, are a family who are called to journey together. That it is those who have been on this walk for a long time and those who are just in the beginning stages of it. We are all called to walk this together. And the spectrum goes along there. But we are walking together, encouraging one another and learning from one another. We could put it this way, if you like. Older Christians, that is, Christians who have been on the journey a little while, are called to journey with younger Christians and vice versa. See, we need everyone walking together in our walk with God. We can't do it alone. We are better when we have every part of the Christian walk represented in this. Each of us has an important part to play in how we follow God, learning from and growing in one another. Because it is as we do this that we actually get to see life and experience life to its fullest in God. It is as we do this that our older Christians, our experienced Christians are encouraged in their walk. And it is as we do this that our younger Christians are encouraged and equipped in their walk as well. See, we benefit from one another. And this is some of what Moses is talking about in our passage today. Experiencing life to its goodness. And so he has given a few instructions to the Israelite people. This is kind of Moses sending off, if you like, his final instructions to the people of Israel. It goes over 40 chapters, so it takes a while to get through his instructions. But he says this, as they're preparing to enter into the promised land, hear these instructions, follow these instructions. Why? So that you may have life to its fullest in the promised land. That you may actually get the benefits that God is calling you to receive as you enter into the promised land. That you might increase, that you might know God and be his people on earth. And so he gives them these instructions. And the first instruction for them is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." This became one of the most famous prayers for Israelite and Jewish people. Now, this became part of their daily prayers, these verses. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the God with all that you are." It's called the Shema prayers. And the Shema comes from the Hebrew word, Shema, which is hear or listen. It is the first part of this. "Hear, O Israel." And this command and instruction that Moses is giving them is actually a reminder that hearing and listening is not just hearing it in our head, but actually responding in understanding. It is growing in understanding. So every day the Jewish people are praying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And what is our response? To love the Lord our God with all that we are. This prayer at its heart is a prayer of discipleship. "Hear, O Israel, listen, understand who your God is. Understand who is calling you to follow him. Recognize him as Lord. Know him in your life. And out of this, love him with all that you are." It is a prayer for us as well, that we would know God and that we would love him as well. God, we want to know you, we want to understand who you are, and then we want to flow out of this, living as your people amongst the people that we are. Listening and loving are two active parts of what it is to follow God. That it is to sit with him and to be with him, and then to live that out as we love him as well. But Moses goes on then to give further instructions for the people. He goes in verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." That is, these commandments are to be deep inside of us. That as we know and understand who God is, his shaping is to be all of us. He is called to shape each and every part of our lives. It is our innermost being where we know God's love and live out of this. The psalmist in Psalm 1 describes this kind of idea as well. And he says, blessed or happy is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. The psalmist here is not saying that you must follow the law to the nth degree and that you will delight in doing that. But rather, the one whose delight is in the Lord and the law of the Lord is actually the one who is seeking to know and understand who God is and to dwell on that, to spend time thinking about it. Why? Because God has revealed himself to his people in the way he is commanding them to live. They've seen him move, and then he's reminding them that as I've moved, you also are called to move. This is about listening to God and cultivating a deep understanding of him. That these commandments are to be on our hearts. That as we love God, we want to grow in passion for him. And so we as disciples need to cultivate that deep desire within us for him. For some of us, this is going to mean that we have a deep fondness for God's word, and we love digging into the Greek and the Hebrew and thinking about what does this passage mean, why this word, what does that actually mean for our life? And this is good. For some of us, it's going to mean that we have a real passion for prayer, and that is how we cultivate our desire for God, because we go, God, we just want to be with you. We want to hear what you are saying. We want to come to you with all that we are, and we want to see you move. For some of us, cultivating our desire, our deep hunger for God is going to be getting outside into creation and going, God, how can I do anything but marvel at you? There will be numerous other ways that we can do it as well. Find the things that cultivate that desire for God in you. Whether that's through reading his word and prayer, whether it's through being in creation, whether it's through getting your hands dirty and building things and doing all of that kind of stuff. Whatever it is, find it. But don't do just the one thing. Because when we do just one thing to cultivate our desire for Jesus and God, we miss out on everything else. See, if our desire is simply to cultivate our desire through knowing God in his word, and it's a good desire, then actually we miss out on having God speak to us in that moment as well, that we kind of go, yeah, we're listening to your word and we're understanding you through this, God, but what is your Holy Spirit saying to me right now in this? Or if I'm out in creation and all I get is my wonder from seeing what God has done, then I miss the full story of who God is and how he has worked across the millennia. That when we just do one thing, we actually miss out on the fullness of life with God. But God is to be on our hearts. We are to pursue him. We are to listen and understand who he is, and we are to respond to his love in our lives with love for him. We are to impress it deep within us. But then Moses goes on that we are called to do this with others. Moses in this passage speaks particularly to the family unit. This is, of course, the main unit that was the key part of society when Moses is speaking to the Israelites. And so he's speaking to them saying, here's how I want you to go about building up disciples and followers of God. And so he says this in verses 7 to 9. Impress them, the commandments, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses is challenging the people to be sharing what God is doing in them. That as they seek to follow God, they're also called to encourage that in the life of those around them as well. Why does Moses command this? Well, his command here to the people is so that God's story isn't lost, and in fact, so that God's people might step into the fullness of God's story for them. That they might enter into the promises that God has called them to. See, remember that in Israel's story here, we're talking to a generation that was brought up in the desert, a generation that has seen God move. They've heard the stories about God, how God led his people out of Egypt and slavery. They've heard the stories of what happens when people fail to trust in God. They've seen God's provision at work in their life in the desert. And so Moses is saying, you've seen this, but the next generation hasn't, so share it with them. Share what God has done. Share the way that he has worked, that they might know who God is. And how do we do this? We do it by it constantly being a part of our lives. We're called to talk about it with our kids. We're called to talk about it with the next generations. We're called to carry these things with it. It should shape our lives that it is every part. Not that every part has to be a, well, God told me that you must do this. Our workmates won't respond well to that. But it is a, hey, I'm caring for you. I am genuinely invested in you. I want to care for you and show God's love to you, because that is how I am. And I want you to know that you are loved and cared. And hopefully that'll open up the conversations as we pay attention to things getting deeper. That when our workmate shares that their mum is sick, that their kid is going through a struggle, that when our friends share about something that's happening in their life, we can say, hey, how are you feeling about that? I get it. I get that it sucks. It's hard in this moment. Can I pray for you? Can I share some of the way that following God gives me hope in the midst of these situations? But it is to be on us. We are to carry God with us wherever we go. We are called to build up the next generations and to share God's love with all around us. That we would saturate our relationships with understanding God. I wonder, in your relationships with other Christians, people who are on the journey together, when was the last time that you discussed with someone how you've seen God's faithfulness at work? When was the last time that you asked a question about how God is moving in someone else's life? When was the last time that you sat down and read the Bible with another person and discussed its meaning and learned from one another in this? Parents, when was the last time you had a conversation with your kids about how you've seen God's faithfulness at work, whether it's in your life or in their life? When was the last time you talked about God's goodness or something good that God gave to you? Couples, when was the last time that you shared your prayer points with one another or what you feel like God is saying to you? Housemates, when was the last time you talked with one another about something that God is speaking to you about? Because as we talk about these things, they become so ingrained in us, it actually stirs us to a deeper desire in God. And as we do this, we also learn and are encouraged by one another as well. I love the small group that Annie and I host each fortnight. We have a wide range of experience within our small group. We have people who have been on this walk for all of their life, and there are people who feel like they're still finding their feet in faith. And yet, as we come together, as we share life, as we share and look at God's word together, we all learn from one another because of our experiences. We get to share the wisdom that we have. We get to share the encouragement that we have. And we all grow in awe and wonder as we see how God is moving in the lives of each other. There is a joy in doing life together and being encouraged in this. And everyone in our small group has an important part to play, and we all get to experience each other's wisdom in this. I can't tell you how many times I have been encouraged by what some of our younger members share, because suddenly it opens up a whole new world of thinking for me that I've either missed or forgotten. And then, as we look at God's word, we also pray for one another as well. We journey in life. We share the struggles and the praises that we have. And so we get to support one another in this. That where one of us is struggling with faith in a situation, the others in the group get to say, hey, we're standing in the gap for you. That we are praying for you. We are looking to God in the midst of this. And we can have the hope when you seem to be struggling with it. We will stand there with you in the midst of it. But it's not just in small groups that we do this in our life. But if you're not in a small group in this church, then I encourage you to get in one. I encourage you to be journeying with people. We have a bunch of small groups that meet throughout the week. And if you're interested and not in one, then please come and speak to me after the service, because I'd love to help you connect with. But we also do this as we go about our lives. That as we have these conversations in our normal day-to-day. Now, I love that I get to hear about people calling up one another within the church and sharing about things that are going on. There are people in our church who will call up each other and say, hey, I feel like God's saying this. I wanted to share something that God had done. Can you help me to understand it a bit more? That we get to share and the excitement of what God is doing within this. It is a joy and encouragement that we have this happening within our church. And I only want to encourage this to happen more and more. Why? Because journeying with each other and being in contact helps us to grow together to be God's people as the greatest Christians we can. There is plenty of research out in the world that says for young people's faith to stick, to last the journey, it is far more likely to happen if they have five adults outside their family circle who are invested and caring for them. Five people who will check in with them to see how they're going. Five people who can discuss faith matters with them in a safe, shame-free environment. But I reckon this is true of all of us. That when we have five or more people around us who are caring for us, who are checking in with us, helping us to be encouraged in God, then we are far more likely to go the journey. We are far more likely to not give up our hope in God when the struggles come, but that we will do this together. Actually, we learn from those who have been on this journey a long time and who have gone through situations unimaginable. That we learn from those who are fresh in the journey as well. And one of Jesus' words to one of the churches in Revelation is, remember your first love. Remember how you felt about me at first and get back to doing those things. We need one another to do this. We need people who are going to point the way of God's faithfulness through the long term. And we need the encouragement and joy that comes from serving God at the start as well. We need everyone in between. I am passionate about cross-generational ministry. And I don't just mean between Gen Xers and Millennials and Baby Boomers and Gen Z, but I mean from our oldest and most experienced Christians to our Christians who are freshest on the walk, who maybe aren't even there yet. That we would grow and learn together in the midst of everything. And so as we think about this, question for us and a challenge for this week. Who are your five? Who are the five people in your life who are investing in you? If you don't have them, maybe this is a good chance to be thinking about what that actually looks like. Reach out to some people. If you're not sure who to reach out, then come and speak to me, because I would love to help connect you with people who are in different stages of this journey. But the flip side of this question is this. Who are you in the five of? Who are you investing in? Because as disciples, as followers of God, we are called to be making disciples. We are called to share God's love. We are called to help others grow in God's goodness. And so who are you investing in? Who are in the next generations or in the next part of that journey down from you that you can be speaking to, encouraging and building up? Who can you be helping to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let us pray. God, we have the privilege of being welcomed into relationship with you. Not because of what we've done, but because of who you are and what you have done. God, that is a joy. God, as we walk with you, as we follow you, as we do life with you, help us to know you. Help us to know you deep in our hearts, to be so desiring you that it shapes every part of us. And God, help us to journey together to be your people. God, help us to be a people who are supporting and caring for one another. Help us to be a people who are building up one another in faith. From the oldest of Christians to the youngest of Christians. And those outside of our faith as well. That we might speak your truth in love and grace to one another and see one another take the next steps on our journey with you. God, we look to you. Help us to do this in our life, but help us to do this as a community as well. Stirring one another onto love and good deeds in you. Bringing one another into maturity with you as we walk together in this as a community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.